It's time for JT the Brick.
See, the key to good sports radio, not great, but good sports radio, is you don't have to force it. I don't want to come in here and force Raider content on days where there's no Raider content. What are we going to do? We're going to talk sports. All different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show. I mean, I'm dealing with insanity here. This guy's legit, but wow. Calm down. We're going to start talking sports. Did you hear what I said? I'm good.
JT the Brick.
We're providing content here every day with opinions. And I'm pretty strong with my opinions. I think you'd agree, and I stand by them. Mixing in the NBA, mixing in basketball and the Golden Knights. This has been the longest running show in the history of the Raiders. Nothing's close. You better be vocal today, everybody. I'm demanding greatness on the phones. Get your ass in gear today. I got my A game. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. Got it? That's the show.
And now,
Fandemonium.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, final hour of the week as we keep it going here on the flagship of the Silver and Black on Modelo Friday, man. We thank Steve Gomez, the entire team from Modelo, the number one beer in America, because we know on Friday I like to have a bucket of Modelos. And, you know, sometimes I don't drink a bucket of Modelos, but I crack a few Modelos on Friday as my reward for a fun week with you. Everything you give me here on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Modelo, the number one beer in America. So I want to start off this hour. Here's what we're going to do. Tim Miles is going to join us. He's the head coach of San Jose State, longtime friend. He was a coach at Nebraska for a while, and I got to know him pretty good over the last couple of years, Coaches vs. Cancer, as I think there's 27 or 28 Division I coaches in town, thanks to Lon Kruger and what they're doing for the Las Vegas Classic here, the Invitational that's part of Coaches vs. Cancer, which is now national, but Lon Kruger was one of the first coaches when he was head coach of UNLV to bring this many coaches into Las Vegas to play golf, to raise money, to have benefits. Toby Keith, before he passed away, big part of our family. We're going to miss him. That's going to play a big role Sunday night as I get a chance to MC the opening night over at the pool at Park MGM at the Nomad Pool. So that's part of my weekend. On Sunday, I got a chance to go to, tonight I'm going to go see Pearl Jam. Haven't seen Pearl Jam in a while. I think it's been, 10, 12 years? San Diego, I think, was the last time I saw them, and that'll be fun because they played last night and got rave reviews, and I'll get a chance to see them tomorrow at the MGM Grand as we keep it going. So the schedule, and yesterday we vented. It's up on YouTube. We got some good feedback on all of that. So a lot of times when I do prep, I listen to you, the fans, my friends, people that I really respect who come in, and I bounce it off you. So yeah, no, yesterday I was pretty upset about starting with two on the road. I thought the league did us no favors with New Orleans. It was like a throwaway game to them at the end of the year. And my big other problem was the fact that they gave us Atlanta as our only Monday night football game. That kind of really got me upset. But the Chargers and the Ravens on the road, I can get over. I can get over that all day long. And I think the Charger game is going to be a big one for me. Tom Telesco's first game as the GM of the Raiders, and it's Jim Harbaugh's first game as the head coach of the Chargers. We know that the Raider fans are going to travel well. So as I was looking at that game last night, I went to the Chargers site to take a look at the Chargers schedule, because I think it's going to come down to the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to probably been, they were a 5-win team last year, and I think the Chargers are going to have an opportunity to probably win 9 or 10 games. And I said that with Justin Herbert, even when they had Brandon Staley as the coach. Everybody picked him, and some of these national guys to go to the playoffs every year. I didn't, but I always thought that they were a 9 or 10 win team with all the talent that they've had. I also, they got Joe Alt, the best offensive lineman in the draft, but I don't think their roster is better. Khalil Mack, Bosa are a year older. You know, I love Khalil Mack, a great player. Derwin James, a year older. He's always banged up. And losing Mike Williams, losing Keenan Allen, and I liked Austin Eckler. He lives here in Vegas. He's a hell of a player. He's a very good player. And I know that they went out and got another wide receiver in Ladd McConkey. They brought him in. They got a couple of corners. But I don't think this roster, they got Jerry Rice's son in the 7th round. They got Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son. Wish him well, except when he's playing against the Raiders. But check out the Chargers schedule. Chargers open up at home against us, the Raiders, and they're at the Panthers. Panthers on the road. It's the Panthers' home opener. Okay, just keep that in mind. I think the Chargers, the Panthers are going to struggle this year, but they might pop and win a game. Just hope they don't win our home opener in week 3. Then the Chargers play at the Steelers and get the Chiefs at home. They're at the Broncos. They get the Cardinals, a team we don't get this year. They get the Saints at home. At the Browns, they get the Titans, another team we don't get this year. Bengals at home for the Chargers, Ravens at home. That's good for the Chargers. Those are out of division in conference. They get two of the best teams, Bengals and Raiders. Chargers get them at home. We get them on the road. They go to the Falcons. They're at the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. That's December 8th. Why didn't we get that game? And the Chargers only won 5 games. They got the game. They get the Bucs at home, very similar to us. Broncos at the Patriots. That's a game I'd like for the Raiders to have on the schedule this year, the Patriots. We don't have the Patriots and the Cardinals. We don't have them on our schedule. And then the year wraps up with the Chargers at the Raiders. So their schedule's easier. I think it's much easier than the Raiders. I'd like to have the Titans this year too. But the Raiders came in second in the AFC West, and the Chargers came in dead last. Denver came in third. We mentioned Pittsburgh's. Their schedule's the toughest I've ever seen, final 8 games in the history of the NFL. History of the NFL, not this year. Everybody's talking about that if you turn on any of those talk shows. But we're playing the AFC North with the Ravens on the road, Bengals on the road. We get the Browns at home and the Steelers at home. We're playing the entire division. So let's talk about Kansas City for a second, everybody. Everybody assumes that Kansas City is just going to waltz to the AFC West. They have more motivation than ever because they're trying to get a three-peat, right? They're already a dynasty. Got to give them that. And they're going for a three-peat to become the greatest team of all time. So I dove into their schedule this morning. They open up at home with 2 home games. Remember us? We open up on the road, and we didn't win the Super Bowl, and we open up on the road with 2 pretty tough games. Here's Kansas City's schedule. Home with the Ravens Thursday night. Then they get 9 days off, play the Bengals at home. 2 of the toughest games. Bengals really play them tough. They get them at home. I don't think they're going to go 2-0. I think they'll lose one of those games. At the Falcons, that is Sunday night football. Again, the Falcons not very good, but they get to host a Sunday night game. We don't. Then Kansas City's at the Chargers early in week 4. Saints at home at 49ers. So before the Raiders, we play them at home. We get Kansas City at home at 125 on October 27th. Right before that, Kansas City's going into San Francisco, a rematch of the Super Bowl. That's good news. They're going to be a little bit banged up maybe. It's a physical game. Then Kansas City has the Buccaneers, Broncos at the Bills. I think the Bills will win that game. I'll call my shot now. Bills have been very good the last couple of years, and they're going to be fired up in Orchard Park. That's going to be a hell of a game. Kansas City's at the Panthers. We play them Black Friday in Kansas City. Then they have the Chargers at the Browns. Another tough game for them. The Texans, a playoff game, a team. They're at the Steelers, and they end the year at the Broncos. So I'm going to say Kansas City's going to win 11 or 12 games. And I'm hoping we split, right? I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to sweep Kansas City. You're out of your mind. We're not going to say that. We're going to say hopefully we get a split on them. So let me give you another schedule that I thought you'd be interested in. The one that really is driving the world crazy this week is the Jets. So the Jets had a terrible record. The Jets weren't any good. Jets were no good, but they get Aaron Rodgers. And listen, in hindsight, we could have got Aaron Rodgers. He would have broke the bank at the time, but think of what the Raiders paid Jimmy Garoppolo. They're bringing in Gardner Minshew now, Aiden O'Connell. Aaron Rodgers could have been the quarterback of the Raiders, but it would have cost $50 million. And Josh McDaniels at the time and Dave Ziegler were not going to go down that road. So I dove into the Jets schedule, and this is where I think everybody should be upset with the primetime games. If you like primetime games like I do, this team, not that they're all going to be easy, they're going to be hard, but the Jets are the marquee team for 2024. They open up at the 49ers. That'll be the first Monday night football game. So they're at the 49ers, which is a pretty big game. And I think the Jets will lose that game. Then they're at the Titans, and that's not an easy place to win at all. Then the Jets get the Patriots at home, which is a massive rivalry game. Broncos at home. They get the Vikings. That's a game on NFL Network. So that's one of those national games that we're talking about. They play the Bills on Monday Night Football again on the 14th. Look at all these primetime games, and then they're at the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. So the national games for them are unbelievable. Even the Texans that they play at home on Halloween, the 31st, 5:15 p.m., that is a national game. And then they play the Colts. The Colts on 11:17 on NBC, that's Sunday Night Football. So look at all these games that they're getting on national TV. Why? Because they play in the number one media market, and they have Aaron Rodgers. They played the number one media market last year, and they stunk. And they didn't have Aaron Rodgers. And for whatever reason, they rewarded the Jets this year with high-profile games. So that's what the Jets have this year. We don't play the Jets this year because we beat them last year. The Dolphins, another team that I think we got Christian Wilkins. Another team that I think if the Raiders are going to get a wild card, which is what we want. We want a wild card. I know you want the division. Let's dip the show in reality and get baby steps and get the wild card first. Let's get a wild card first, and we'll talk about the division after that. Miami plays the Jaguars at home and the Bills at home. They don't start on the road, two at home. Those teams are going to dread that. Not the Jaguars. They play in that weather and the humidity. The Bills have to go down from Buffalo down there in the humidity. Whenever the Patriots and the Bills play in Miami in September, they hate it. They hate it. They don't want to be there. So the Bills could run into some trouble there. Miami's at the Seahawks, Titans at home, at the Patriots, at Colts. They get the Cardinals. Miami's schedule looks a lot easier than the Raiders, everybody. They got the Bills twice in their first 9 weeks. We get Miami on the 17th. Miami also plays, obviously, at the Packers. That's a Sunday night football game. The Packers could be very good. They also play at the Texans, where the Texans are a playoff team. Miami, a team that we're going to compete against for a wild card, in my opinion, play the Niners at home at the Browns. We're looking at our schedule, and I think it's pretty tough, tied for eighth. Miami's schedule is no cupcake. So I think it's going to come down to the Raiders as a wild card or Miami and the Jets. I still believe Buffalo is going to win the AFC East, and the Jets, at least Park Avenue, thinks the Jets are going to the playoffs. They give them all these unbelievable games, primetime games. So as I breathe and talk to you and talk to friends and we go over the schedule and everybody seems to be calming down the way I was a lunatic the last couple of days, I'm good. I think the Raiders are going to have some fun this year. We're going to have some fun. The road schedule is better than the home schedule. You know that. The road schedule is going to be interesting. I think the Raider fans are going to travel big to L.A. to take on the Chargers. Raider fans from Vegas and Oakland, you're welcome to go, but L.A.'s got our back. Inglewood. Compton, straight out of Compton, NWA, Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg flips a lot. But, you know, the president of Raider Nation, and please let him hear I said this. Someone help me out here. You know how much I like to do for you being the guardian of the gate. The president of the Raider Nation is Ice Cube. Let Ice Cube know that we need him as the president of Raider Nation in his hometown of Los Angeles, best seats in the house, fully decked out in the silver and black, on the sideline with Mark Davis, right there on September 8th as the Raiders take on the Chargers. I'm excited for some road games this year. I think either the Rams or the Chargers. The Chargers is my first pregame of the year, so I'll probably stay back. My bosses are very kind and let me travel to a couple games a year. I wanted to save that to New Orleans, but I'm bummed out that it's right after Christmas and it just doesn't fit everybody's schedule there. The road trip game that I talked to Cisco and Mark Jones about at the Black Hole is the Dolphins. That fits my schedule really good because we're coming off the bye week. So we'll have a little bit of a vacation between November 3rd and November 17th, the bye week. We'll come off the bye week. Maybe I'll stay a little bit and then head out early to the Dolphin game in South Beach and see some Raider fans there. Buccaneers game sounds good there, but Miami just seems like a more upbeat place to see the Raider Nation this year. And that's it. So as we come back, we'll get into a conversation. I'm going to talk to Tim Miles, the head coach of San Jose State. I got to take care of some house business here with Coaches versus Cancer. Please check out the American Cancer Society. Google Coaches versus Cancer and see what Lon Kruger is able to do here. And then we got a hot weekend. My parents get in on Saturday night as I come out of Pearl Jam. That'll be interesting. Give my mom a hug, my dad a hug. My kids are old enough to pick up my parents now at the airport. That'll be nice. Going to have a nice weekend. I got a long, busy weekend of work. A full four-hour show on Sunday on Mad Dog, the double shift here Monday and Tuesday. And then on Tuesday, I'm going to take off. We are off for the Aviators. The Aviators will preempt us. I'm going to play golf with Coaches versus Cancer. Then Wednesday is the Raiders' official golf tournament at Wynn, Las Vegas. And come on, man, you don't think I'm going to miss playing golf at Wynn. Hitting some drives at the Sphere. I'll be there for that. Vinny Bonsignor will jump in for me on Wednesday. Rolling here as we continue on. It's a gorgeous Friday. I hope everybody has a great weekend. I started it by saying Modelo. I end it by saying Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. How about having a Woodson bourbon whiskey and think about Charles Woodson, little on ice, two cubes, perfect. You'll love it. When I do it in my backyard, backyard brick, I have a Woodson bourbon whiskey over one big cube or two, light up a cigar from Mike at La Casa Cigars. La Casa Cigars carries Woodson bourbon whiskey. I'm getting everybody in on this segment. Smoke a cigar, kick back, and enjoy the Raiders schedule release. As we continue on, JT Friday, Q coming up. Thrilled to be here. Bobby had a big week also as we continue on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Say it with me, Raider Nation Radio. It's Coaches vs. Cancer Week. I'm proud to be a part of it like I am every year, and I get to know coaches over the years, especially this one. Tim Miles joins us, head coach from San Jose State, and we go back 20 years. And, Coach, thanks for doing this again. You know how big Coaches vs. Cancer is with Lon Kruger in Vegas, and we're happy to have you back.
JT, I'm so happy to be back, and it's great. And thank you for all your contributions and how – you know, you make it so energized and get everybody going. This thing has been an amazing journey. I remember Lon Kruger called me when he was coaching at UNLV, and it was just a UNLV event. And he says, Coach, I have this idea. I want to make it all the Mountain West schools, maybe even some of the schools in the West Coast, and I want to make it a bigger and bigger deal. And we came out the first time, and boy, I mean, we didn't even have a full course. Like, We probably had 16, 18 groups max. And now we've got, oh my goodness, over 2 days and four golf courses, and we raised a whole bunch of money for a great cause, Coaches versus Cancer. The job Lon Kruger has done and everybody involved, it's just an amazing event. All the guests I bring love it, and they can't wait to come back. And it's just a great event and a great cause.
I'm happy you said that, because the coaches, it's nice when you're able to bring some foursomes and some friends. And it's not, Coach, like you twisting arms to get to Vegas, to Shadow Creek and Southern Islands. Right? It's not like you got a call. You got a deep, deep book of friends. And, you know, I'm sure the first four friends you call are like, yeah, I'm in. I cannot miss that trip, right?
No doubt about it. It's so fun. It's almost like you have them on a rotational basis. But, you know, you get all the craps players at once. Then you get the blackjack guys. And so it's a lot of fun. It's great. They love it. MGM does a wonderful job, just, you know, and of course, you know, the golf courses we play are amazing, and there's that too, that's so fun, and it's just so well done, you know. Mm-hmm. People don't realize, like I tell my guys, they're like, oh, that meal's provided, this is for, I mean, and then there are so many cool people around. I remember one year, I think we had three of the four coaches from the Final Four were there, Dana Altman, Roy Williams, and Frank Martin. What a cool thing that was.
Tim Miles is our guest here. Coach, I like that you're at San Jose State, because we're on Raider Nation Radio, and a lot of Raider Nation is up there, and you're starting to see that. I think that's pretty cool that you're in a vibrant community in and around the Bay Area. There's a lot of fans of multiple teams and multiple sports, and there's a lot of history at San Jose State. Olympic history, basketball history, track and field, just massive baseball. How proud are you to be a part of this organization now?
Well, it's awesome. It is, and you're exactly right. Raider Nation is alive and well in Northern California. Don't for 2 seconds. They just got to decide what games they're flying to Vegas for. It's awesome to see. It's awesome to be a part of. I tell you what, it's funny. My son's a Division I track athlete. Gabe runs at North Dakota State.
Wow.
He's a freshman this year, just got sixth in the conference in the Summit League at the conference championships in the quarter mile. Ran a great race, and I was so happy for him. And I said, Gabe, why don't you come out here and run? He goes, Dad, that's a different league, man. That's a different level. You know, track, Speed City, all the things that went with it are just an amazing place. And, you know, I can't wait. 2 years ago, we had a hell of a basketball team. We were tougher than heck in the Mountain West. And this year, we just, the transfer portal with no NIL dough didn't quite as help. We're further down the road there. I think we're going to be much more competitive next year. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to get back in Thomas Mack and roughing it up with the running Rebs.
Tim Miles is our guest. Hey, Coach, how are you handling the portal? Because you've been Coach of the Year in two different conferences before this transfer portal was even a thought or big, and now NIL, my son's in the NIL business, and overall, it's kind of fun that the kids are now involved and they can make some money and have more decisions that they can make. But it still feels like it's the wild, wild west, and we're 20 years away from the NCAA, even Congress, coaches, players getting on the same page. So when you get up every day and you're on the recruiting trail and then you're looking at the portal and trying to raise NIL money, is it much more complicated than it was for you 10, 20 years ago?
It is and it isn't. And first of all, I'm happy for your son. That's a good area to be in, especially right now. I think that it's going to be an emerging market, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm happy the kids are able to give them some money. But it's like one of my friends in the NFL said, imagine unrestricted free agency at every position, every year, with an unlimited payroll. Go figure that one out. You know. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of the A's. We're playing money ball up here, right? The Billy Beane thing. Trying to figure out how to do more with less. But as you look at it, I think that it's a little bit crazier because of what I just mentioned earlier. But at the same time, it's simplified. You know, I mean, you get down to it. But honestly, it's so fluid now with the, you know, now multi-transfer rule is in. It used to be you transfer once, you got to sit out. Then they took out the one sit out, and then you had to graduate. Now you can transfer multiple times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel sorry. Honestly, I feel bad for the high school kids trying to break in because so many colleges are just concentrating their efforts on the transfer portal that it just makes, you know, sense to get an older guy, keep the older guys, and you can get them in and play them right away. So now it becomes, I grew up in the upper Midwest, JT, mm-hmm. and CBA basketball before the G League, ABA basketball, minor league basketball leagues up there in South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, all throughout Indiana, right? So those guys were putting together teams for 7 months in a year. That's how Eric Musselman grew up, right? Mm-hmm. Who did really well in the transfer portal. But he was a CBA coach with the Rapid City Thrillers. Like guys like that, like I think you have to adopt a little bit of that mentality that I'm going to collect as much talent as I can, as quick as I can, knowing that at our level, at the San Jose States of the world, you're going to lose some of that. You know, mm-hmm. I've lost a conference leading shot blocker 2 years ago, lost three guys this year. It's just a way of life. Well, you can sit here and be upset and grumpy about it, or you can figure out how to adapt and thrive, and that's what we're trying to do. So we've kind of just taken on that old minor league basketball mentality.
Tim Miles, as we wrap it up, Coaches versus Cancer, I've been involved with it with Lon Kruger from day one. I'm proud to be associated with these coaches that come out here and raise a lot of money for the American Cancer Society. You know, Coach, over the years, when I'm emceeing the event with Sean Farnham, and we're always bringing up a survivor, someone who fought cancer, and then, you know, you might find out 5 years later that that individual passed on, but they were in the fight the entire time. And that's what this is about. We still don't have the cures that we want, but we're getting closer and closer. And when you're working with a big boy group like the American Cancer Society, and then you got all these D1 heavyweight coaches here, I just focus on how much money we can raise every year with the sponsors who continue to come back, because it is blackjack, it is golf, it's Vegas and all that. But I love the single-minded focus when everyone gets to these events here, the live auction, people are there. And this year is going to be big because I know it hurts for you and Coach Kruger. We lost Toby Keith, who's been a big part of this for a long time, and it's not going to be the same without him performing with his red solo cup and everybody getting selfies with him.
Toby was the best. I remember he's sitting in Lon's backyard at Southern Highlands, and he's saying, I'm a crappy golfer. And he had this song, and it was so hilarious because I think everybody felt his pain, and he was so relatable. Obviously, that's why he was such a star in the country music industry. And you know, I have two sisters that are widows. They lost the men in their life to cancer, and it was just unrecoverable on both things. It's so sad that we're not further down the road. And the one thing, whether it be with Jim Valvano and Dick Vitale originally starting this whole thing, and those guys like Lon Kruger that said, you know what, we can do this in the West, and we can do it bigger and better. This is one of the best events in the country, folks. And the people that are there, like you say, star power and all these different industries. There's been, I remember Bob Stoops was there when you get high-level football coaches. It's a basketball deal, but there's a lot of people there that, you know, are high-level people. And then with the business executives coming in now, and you see the success and those successful people being a part of that, it's really great. And we've all been touched by it. Let's keep the fight going.
See you Sunday, Coach, and we'll see you around, and hopefully I catch you on the golf course. I'm double-dipping. I got a couple of shows on Monday, so I'll jump in Sunday and see you Tuesday. And I look forward to coming up and seeing a game. I got a lot of friends of mine who live up in that area, so hopefully I can pick a game, non-Raider bye week or something down the road, and come catch your team play this year. I'd really look forward to that.
You got an open invite, man. We'll grab dinner afterwards if you want.
Thanks, Coach. I'll see you this weekend. Thank you.
Yeah,
there he is, Tim Miles. Good guy. Really good guy. Fun guy. A hell of a coach. And look, he's bounced around a little bit lately. He just had the Nebraska job. His last three jobs were Colorado State. He had that from 2007 to 12. He was at Nebraska a long time, 2012 to 2019. And when you're with those big schools, eventually it's going to come to an end. He was the Mountain West Coach of the Year in 2023, which is a big deal for us in the Mountain West. Then he was the Big Ten Coach of the Year 2014. He's got chops. He's coached a long time, man, and he's a really good guy. So for our Bay Area fans, do me a favor, San Jose State. We got a lot of our listeners in the Bay Area who stream us here on Friday here on Raider Nation Radio. Make a note of that, please. And you're going to bump into Coach Miles, or if you go to a game, you know, give him a shout-out, please, and let him know he has support there because he's a good guy, one of us, and a guy I've gotten to know. What a blessing in my life to get to know Fred Biletnikoff, Phil Villapiano, Tim Miles, Lon Kruger, who we had on earlier in the week. These are just people that brought me into their world, let me interview them a few times, and now I've been one of the mainstay MCs of Coaches versus Cancer, which on my MC resume, right, I MC a lot of events for the Raiders that are big. I'm MCing Mike Ditka's Gridiron Greats in Chicago in 3 weeks. Coaches versus Cancer is close to the top, if not the top of the list for me, because of the amount of money they raise for the American Cancer Society. Thanks again to Tim Miles as we're here and wrapping up a Friday. Hey, schedule release, guys and gals. There's a lot to be upset about with this schedule. There's a lot to be happy about with this schedule. Kind of let it sink in over the weekend. I'm going to go to Pearl Jam on Saturday. Let it sink in, the schedule. We're going to come back on Monday and do a full schedule recap show when I can kind of get after it a little bit on this as we continue. This is the flagship of the Silver and Black, brought to you by Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo, right here on Raider Nation Radio. JT wrapping it up here on a gorgeous Friday. As we get going into next week and schedule week, you just heard again more on the Raiders schedule, my opinion on that. But I wanted to wrap up this week and touch on a couple of topics here. Obviously, that basketball game last night was wild. I mean, that never happens. That's the third time that's ever happened. And it's since the peach basket in basketball was invented. And for Nikola Jokic, who's a three-time MVP, that's the most embarrassing loss for an MVP since Bob Pettit in 1956. Go Google that. Okay, again, a lot of people don't want to talk about Nuggets basketball, but I had to mention that. Watching that last night to see such a blowout for a team that's the reigning champs that have the current MVP is amazing. And Anthony Edwards looks to me to be a lot like Jordan and LeBron. It's a Jordan and LeBron type of science project if you put that kid together. Incredible. So before I get back to Scheffler and the latest on this, that's the big story today. As I said early in the first hour, woke up to that today, and I've never seen anything like it. When you wake up to news and it's a mugshot, and you see the first headline and you're waking out of a dead sleep, like I do, you know, my kids live at home now. My son just graduated from college, got a job. He's getting ready to move out. My youngest son's home from college before his senior year. When you wake up in the morning, you want to make sure your kids made it home. I knew they were home last night. Make sure your parents, my parents who are in their mid-80s, are okay. And I looked at the phone, and it was blowing up. And it was 5:45 in the morning. I'm getting texts from Buddy back east. Can you believe this with Scheffler? Can you believe this? Look at Scheffler. I don't believe it. The mugshot and all that. So I'm waking up out of a dead sleep, and I see this, and then he shows up at the course, and I watch him tee off, and I watch him get a birdie on the first hole, and again, it's not about his score today. We know how great of a golfer he is. He is in contention to win this tournament. And if he wins this tournament after getting arrested, he didn't get brought in for questioning. He was arrested on the scene there. This will be one of the craziest sports stories of our lifetime. If he wins, and you might say, well, why are you bringing up win or lose? Because that's everything with this story. Scheffler is going to plea down. This is going to go away most likely. Not that I agree or disagree. There's going to be more information that comes out throughout the course of the day, and Scheffler isn't going to comment much on this until after the tournament. But all accounts is that Scheffler is a great guy. All accounts. Heavy God squad, man of faith, always talking about his faith first. And a guy who seems to be quiet, very gentle, a husband, just had a baby, first baby with his wife, but that doesn't matter. The issue which is getting dangerous now and blowing up the internet, as Bobby and I were talking about this 5 minutes ago before we came back, is that a lot of people have been arrested for the same thing, and they're not going to get the treatment that Scottie Scheffler got. A golfer who people are saying he's white, he's entitled, this and that. I don't do that. I don't see any race. I don't see race. And when there is racial inequities, I talk about it as much as anybody you've ever heard on the air. But a lot of people are blowing up all over the internet trying to make this a really big deal. And maybe it is. Maybe when more and more of the information comes out, it's worse than it looks. But from what we see, the issue becomes a teachable moment again. And Scottie Scheffler, in the dark at 5 in the morning, is heading to the golf course to stretch, train, warm up, get nutrition, be with his team in advance of his tee time, which is what every golfer does. Some golfers get there 3 hours before, some get there too. Scheffler reportedly gets there early. There's a fatality car accident that Scheffler is not aware of until he sees the ruckus and he can't move his car. And obviously he's got to get to the golf tournament, and he makes a rash decision and ends up getting arrested. So there was a deadly accident near the golf course at about 5 in the morning. A man was fatally struck by a shuttle bus as he tried to cross the road near the course. Remember, it was raining. The weather was really bad. This is from Louisville Metro Police, their department, earlier today. The roadblocks and confusion over the accident allegedly led Scheffler to drive past police who were on the site. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't drive past cops. I don't care if you're an entitled golfer, if you're an NBA player, if you're a politician. You cannot drive past police officers with, obviously, lights flashing and doing that. He was released from jail at about 8:40, returned to the course for his 10:08 tee time. Everybody thinks that's miraculous. What a great story. He made it in time. Stop. He was going to get there in time. Believe me, they were going to get him there. Obviously, the president of the golf course ended up getting him there. So when this happened, and as a police officer attempted to attach himself to Scheffler's car, Scheffler then stopped his vehicle at an entrance to Valhalla. So that's what's happening here, too. There was a scuffle with the car, which could be talked about and is a deadly weapon, a moving car. So as Jeff Darlington, how about that? Jeff Darlington, who's an NFL reporter, I was wondering why he was doing so much golf. He did a pretty good job reporting on this. The police officer began to scream at Scheffler to get out of the car. When Scheffler exited the vehicle, the officer shoved Scheffler against the car and immediately placed him in handcuffs. And he was detained in the back of a police car. This happens every bleeping hour in America. Okay? Many times every hour in every city, in every state in America. So Scheffler now faces charges of second-degree assault of a police officer, third-degree criminal mischief, reckless driving, and disregarding traffic signals. When I first saw his mugshot, I thought it was a DUI. But then again, I said, you know, Scottie Scheffler doesn't seem like a DUI guy, but then I say that a lot of people who get DUIs. That you're not supposed to get a DUI. He didn't get a DUI. He was just in a hurry to get somewhere, and he didn't take the direction from police officers. So I'm not here to preach, right? I'm not here to preach. We just had on a police officer, the president of the Metro Police Union, last week, as Bishop Gorman had the game between the police officers and the firemen. And the lesson to be learned from this story, everybody, is that when the police are in a situation, either an active pursuit or there's a, you know, fatality car accident or a rollover and they have cones set up or they're trying to slow down traffic, you got to listen. They're investigating what's happening here because Scottie Scheffler, as of now, from what we've seen, says it's a misunderstanding. Well, that's great. How many other people in their lives have said the same thing and said, hey, man, I was minding my own business. I got pulled over. Next thing you know, I'm in handcuffs and I was minding my own business. Scheffler's got to make sure that he handles this well. A, you tell the truth about everything that happened. He's already put out condoning and obviously thoughts and prayers to the individual who died. But the guy goes out there and he has ice water in his veins and he plays golf today and everybody's able to see this. So Scottie Scheffler put out this statement following the arrest earlier today. I thought that was a good thing. Clearly, he got to the golf course in time. He said, quote, this morning I was proceeding as directed by police officers. It was a very chaotic situation, understandably. So considering the tragic accident that occurred earlier, and there was a big misunderstanding of what I thought I was being asked to do. I never intended to disregard any of the instructions. I'm hopeful to put this to the side and focus on golf, which he did today. Of course, all of us involved in the tournament express our deepest sympathies to the family of the man who passed away in the earlier accident this morning. It truly puts everything in perspective. So that was written by Scottie Scheffler's lawyer or Scottie Scheffler's agent or someone from PR. So Scottie Scheffler can put that out and start to atone for the mistakes that he made. It clearly looks like Scheffler made a big decision to try to avoid what was police were doing, to try to go around it, to do whatever he wanted to. Scheffler allegedly continued to drive 10 to 15 yards at a slow speed with the officer attached to his vehicle before the car came to a stop and he was arrested. That's why he's facing a charge of felony second-degree assault of a police officer. I would assume, and I don't know this to be true, and information's going to come in, and Q will have updated information there that, you know, the police officer maybe will say this is a misunderstanding. I think that's what's going to happen here, but you don't know. So wild day today. Fortunately for the PGA, you know, you got a golf tournament, but the bigger story is the individual who died and that family and what they're dealing with today. So try to put it all in perspective, but just a wild morning earlier today. And then watching some golf today, not paying attention. I have a lot going on here as we're still going over schedule release and everything that's happening. But the latest update on ESPN.com is police officer dragged trying to stop Scheffler. So now we're hearing the term misunderstanding, and now we're hearing dragged. The police officer, this is the latest update from Mark Shellbach of ESPN, their senior writer. The police officer who attempted to stop world number one golfer Scottie Scheffler from entering Valhalla earlier today was dragged to the ground and suffered pain, swelling, and abrasions to his left wrist and knee after Scheffler's car accelerated, according to an incident report. Now, why did his car accelerate? I don't know. Did he look to step on the brake? And he stepped on the gas accidentally. This will all come out as the police report is out there. And golf will go on, but that family is going to have to mourn a family member that was lost there. So just a crazy, unfortunate circumstance today. I will say this because we had a couple of people react on Twitter earlier and on the live stream. If he wins this tournament, there's a good chance he can. I mean, Xander Schauffele's a great golfer. And the leaderboard's looking unbelievable. If Scheffler wins, it's one of the craziest sports stories of all time. I mean, winning matters. Remember, winning will magnify this story. If Scheffler is able to put this incident behind him where he could be looked at as the bad guy, the guy who made the mistake, the guy who got arrested, I have no problem with that. You can accuse him of anything you want here as long as you show respect and wait for the law. Wait for the law to come through on this and explain what happened and for him to have his day in court. But if he wins this thing, it goes up there as one of the greatest sports victories under duress and under drama that we've ever seen is a major golf tournament. And again, I continue to preface this by saying the individual who passed away is much bigger and a bigger story than the golf tournament. But from a sports perspective, this would be insanity if Scheffler ends up winning. If he can put this type of heat on him and go out there and win after winning the Masters and doing what he did this year, I wouldn't be surprised if he did that. Tonight's game, Knicks at Pacers. Knicks have an opportunity to close out this series. They better not screw around. The Knicks got to find a way to win. And if they're going to end up winning this series, they better do it in Indiana, because if Indiana gets back to the Garden, I think this is going to be a two-point game with under 2 minutes to go, and anything could happen. And I don't have a lot of confidence. I didn't have confidence in the Knicks in Game 4. They got blown out. They took the starters out of the game. Very similar to what happened in Minneapolis last night with Denver. They had to get the starters out of the game and just take it on a chin like they got knocked out and move on to Game 7 that'll come up in Denver. But the Knicks don't want a Game 7 at home. The Knicks want to win this game tonight, get a little extra rest, and get on to the series against the Celtics. Jalen Brunson is absolutely going to have to try to take over this game, and I think they'll be able to do that. I think they'll be able to do that, but Indiana's the favorite for the right reasons going into this game tonight. A lot of people are gambling today. A lot of people I know are gambling on Scottie Scheffler and golf going forward here, and they're betting on the NBA on top of some other sporting events coming up this weekend. Preakness, a lot of Preakness fans. Let me get you the moving line before I get out of here on what's going on with this game tonight. So Indiana opened up a 5.5-point favorite, and Indiana remains. 5.5, the total on the Knick game is 215. Caitlin Clark is off to a disastrous start. Do you know in the history of the WNBA, and I don't know much about the history of the league, she's had the worst start ever by a player in the first two games when it comes to efficiency. What? How is that even possible that one of the greatest players ever in college history, coming in with all this fanfare, had two games where she was a turnover machine? That's a big story that's very interesting to me right now. So there's a lot of other stories that are out there, but I think what's going to happen, and look at this, Kansas City's in the news again. It's hard for me working, you know, in the NFL and working for the Raiders to accuse other teams of having bad players, this or that, because every team has players that get into trouble. But every time I turn up, and I just hit this from Adam Teschler from ESPN, Kansas City Chief rookie wide receiver Xavier Worthy. His car was stolen this week, according to the Kansas City Police Department. It's not funny. This is the guy that ran the Fast 40, remember? The car was reported stolen around noon. Worthy was not in the vehicle when it was taken. He was unharmed. He was selected last month by the Chiefs. Remember, he ran the 4-2-1 over at the Combine in the 40-yard dash. Hockey, Vancouver winning that game last night was incredible in the final minute of the game. So Vancouver's in control of that series. And then tonight on TNT, we have a big game. Florida leads Boston 3-2 in hockey. That game is in Boston, so Boston needs to stay alive. And the Stars and Avalanche. Wouldn't it be great if we said the Golden Knights and the Avalanche? Stars beat the Golden Knights. That game, that series is tied 3-2. Dallas is trying to close it out on the road against the Avalanche. That game also on TNT. So you got a hockey doubleheader tonight. So a couple of housekeeping items before we get out of here. Sunday's a big day. Coaches versus Cancer kicks off the opening night celebration. I'll be the MC for that. That'll be over at Park MGM. There'll be over 20-something, 22, 23 Division I head coaches, former coaches like Roy Williams, great coaches that are out there, Lon Kruger, Kevin Kruger. So I'll do that on Sunday. Monday, two shows. We have our typical show from noon to 2. Then I'll be on Mad Dog Sports Radio 4 to 7. Tuesday, I'll be at Coaches versus Cancer. I'll be off on Tuesday. We're off because of the Aviators. And then on Wednesday next week, it'll be Vinny Bonsignor in here as I'll be a part of the Raiders annual golf tournament at Wynn. So hopefully I hit a couple in the fairway, have a good time there, golf a little bit over the weekend. But I'm going to be glued to the golf, absolutely glued to the golf, and Scottie Scheffler in this story of what's going to happen here as we continue on into the sports weekend. In regards to what the Raiders are doing next and what's going to be next for the Raiders, we come off the schedule, which I want to thank everybody with this schedule release and all the fans, everybody on social media. Social media is normally, you know, ups and downs on that, but a lot of Raider fans handled this schedule nicely. I thought it was, look, the stories now are heading into OTAs for the Raiders. The schedule is what it is. I think that Charger game, as I said, is the road trip. Get out to that, and then maybe Raiders are in the hunt for the postseason. That New Orleans game will matter. But the next big topic for us now is OTAs. They are just around the corner. The Las Vegas Raiders are scheduled to begin workouts on Monday, May 20th. While the first couple of weeks are about installing the playbook, helping players get back into shape, but this will be non-padded on-field drills with position battles to get going. Aiden O'Connell, this column popped up for me today. I just want to tell you about this. This was written by who? This is Matt Holder. Yeah, Matt Holder, very good NFL insider. The quarterback competition, that'll be interesting. That's one of the big storylines. Michael Gallup's return. So after his impressive two-season run in 2019 and 2020, injuries have held Gallup back, and that's a big reason that he was a post-draft pickup for the Raiders. Really good player with upside. The two tight end set, Michael Mayer and Brock Bauer, how are they going to come together? Right tackle rotation, Thayer Mumford Jr. is the presumptive starting right tackle. Let's see what can happen with him along the way and how much will rookie DJ Glaze press him in camp and how many reps is he going to get at guard, let alone right tackle there. Andres Pete is in the mix also as the Raiders picked him up for depth. The cornerback rotation, what's going to happen now with Jack Jones? Who's going to be the opposite cornerback of him? Brandon Faison coming off an injury that held him out nearly all of last year, but he's going to fight for his spot up against Jacorian Bennett for week one. So that'll be fun to see. Also, the fourth round pick Richardson is being a contributor, and he's going to be a little bit more than a project. And that's about it when it comes to the Raiders here. OTAs are opening up. OTAs will wrap up on June 6th. And then after that, we know the organization is going to have more cap space with Jimmy Garoppolo's contract coming off the books on June 1st. So a little bit of a break there. And there's some free agents available, including wink-wink cornerbacks that the Raiders could be in the hunt for there. So that's it on a Friday. Q's coming up next. Thanks to Bobby for putting the show together. Tim Miles, I hope you enjoyed that. What a fun guy. For the Bay Area listeners here, head on up and catch a San Jose State game and say hi to Coach Miles. Good guy. Good friend of the show. And the Scotty Scheffler news, even though we're the flagship of the Raiders, I'm sure if there's breaking news throughout the course of the day on what's happening there, you'll hear it here on Raider Nation Radio or on our sister stations throughout. Thanks again to all of our partners who we thank every week. Couldn't do a radio show without them. Mom and Dad are coming to town. I'm really happy. My heart is full. When you're lucky enough like me to have parents who are 85 each coming out tomorrow to spend 10 days with me, it's a really important moment in my life to spend some time with my parents and go to Pearl Jam tomorrow night. And how about those videos from Dead & Company over at the Sphere? Hey, man, it's tough to go to a concert anywhere other than the Sphere after those videos, but I'm going to give the MGM Grand a shot for Pearl Jam and have a great weekend. For Bobby, I'm JT. Thanks for listening to the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio on the Raiders mobile app and LVSportsNetwork.com. Everything we did this week is in podcast form and on my YouTube page at YouTube, JT the Brick YT.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.